We're in the book of Matthew this morning, continuing our Sermon on the Mount series, and it just so happened to fit perfectly with my testimony this morning. So thank you for those who made the sacrifice to be here to hear that. I hope it helps and that you're blessed by it. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. 25 to 34, Matthew 6. So this morning my sermon is going to be a little bit more personal. It's going to be a more personal look into my life, my struggles with anxiety. And my goal this morning is just simply to tell you my story. It's not going to be a very academic message. I'm not going to get into any Greek or Hebrew, probably not, but who knows. I just want to tell you my story and how God weaved it together with his story and brought healing. So as some of you may know, I had a rather long struggle with anxiety, and it still pops its ugly head up. But it was around 2.5 years in length, the real, you know, pit of it, if you will. And look, I tried it all. I tried the pills. I tried counseling. I tried it all. I got desperate. And when everything else failed me, I decided to just bring it to God finally, which seems a little silly. Should have been my first move, but it wasn't. And it wasn't until I sat at the feet of Jesus, and really at the end of my rope, and asked him, Lord, will you teach me? Will you teach me? It wasn't until I got to that point that change began to happen. And so this message here through this passage is just my personal journey of sitting at the feet of King Jesus and finally just listening to what he had to say without any sort of preconceived ideas. Just, Lord, what are you going to say? Teach me something. Say something. I need a word. And this is what he told me. He exchanged my anxiety for peace, my exhaustion for strength, my righteousness for his, or my perceived righteousness, because I didn't really have any, and my crumbling kingdom for his kingdom. Here's what the Lord told me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In 2014, my wife and her family went on a family vacation to Jamaica. So there's me, there's Chris, and the rest of the folks, Shelley and I probably should have used the picture where his shirt was buttoned up, but sorry about that. I just noticed that. So cover the children's eyes. We don't need to see that. I've always had a fear of flying. I kind of still do, but not so much anymore. But I had this like fear of flying. And so when I heard, they kind of sprung it on us. They're like, hey, we're going to Jamaica. And the first thing I thought when I heard that was, oh, crap, I have to get on a plane. Like, I should have been excited, right? Like a free trip to Jamaica should excite a rational human being who lives in Canada. But it didn't. It caused me fear. And then thoughts began. What if the plane gets hijacked? You know, what if the engines fail? What if this? What if that? My anxiety was so strong that the night before we got on that plane, I got absolutely no sleep whatsoever. All I could think about was, what if I die on the plane tomorrow? A few months passed, and I noticed my anxiety got really bad after that vacation. Day by day got worse, and for some reason, all I could do was like think on bad things. It just seemed my thoughts, just bad stuff was coming to my mind all the time, and it seemed random. It suddenly seemed like my own mind had become my worst enemy. No matter what I did, I couldn't escape. I became a prisoner to my own mind, and the problem was I forgot where I left the key. I was stuck. I swore to myself that I would never go on any sort of medications for this issue, but I felt crippled. I felt crippled. I distinctly remember a day when my wife pushed me to leave the house to go to the gym. She's like, just get out. Just go. We have to go. Even if it's, you know, 10 minutes on the treadmill or one set on the bench press, just get out and do something. You can't stay here all day. So I did. I went to the gym. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. I remember stepping on the Stairmaster, and like every step on that Stairmaster felt like I was being stabbed in the gut with a knife. It was excruciating. My mind was racing faster than a military jet, and I don't know if anybody here has ever struggled with this kind of thing, but like when your mind is constantly racing with thoughts of, you know, anxious thoughts or depressed thoughts or whatever, it exhausts your body. You just become tired. It drains you physically. I was losing all hope, and so I finally broke down and went to the doctor, and he prescribed me some medication. And so here I was on psychiatric drugs, going to counseling every week, completely drained of all my energy. And my spiritual coach encouraged me to begin journaling my experience. He said, you know, get a little book and just start writing your thoughts. And I thought, man, come on, that's not going to do anything. That's kind of pointless. Plus, like, my wrists aren't the best from, you know, wrestling and lifting. So writing would be too hard. So can I type it? He said, sure, but eventually you need to, you know, man up and get a pen and write in your book. So I tried it. I opened up my Bible, I got a journal, and I began asking God for answers. That's all I could do. I mean, I opened it up, I go, okay, what do I do? What do I write? Just my thoughts? What if someone reads it? then what? So I decided to ask God for answers. I said, okay, God, help me. Give me a word. Speak to me. Give me anything. And this is what happened. He led me, like I kind of opened my Bible. I don't encourage anyone to do this, but just kind of it happened. I just opened my Bible and boom, what does this say? You know, and I read it and I'm like, okay, kept going, boom, boom, boom. Eventually I got led to the Sermon on the Mount and got to our passage this morning. And then that's when it struck me like a bolt of lightning, like boom, this is it. This is the word. Stay here. Stay here and ask Jesus to give you something. And don't leave until he does. Like when Jacob wrestled with God, he said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And that was my attitude. I'm not letting go until you give me something here, Lord. He was speaking to me, Alan, do not be anxious. Now, people told me that all the time. You know, don't be anxious. Just stop worrying so much. And when it came from others, it just seemed kind of rude and insensitive. Like, easy for you to say, you're not in the pit. But when it came from Jesus, it seemed kind of like gentle and loving. Do not be anxious. He said, Alan, look around you. Just stop for a second, if you can, and look around you. Look at where I've put you. Look at the birds of the air. Just stop and consider your anxiety for a second and them. Do the birds worry about anything? Are they concerned with getting sick? Are they anxious about whether their wings will malfunction and send them plummeting to their death? Do the birds lock themselves inside their nests for fear of what may be out there or what they might do out there? No, they don't. Should they? Maybe. Because there's predators out there looking for them. But they're not. They're not anxious. Birds don't go to work. They don't gather into barns. They don't really have a care in the world. And it blew me away. Wow, birds. Really, Lord? Birds? That's your word is birds? Look at the birds. After that, I never really looked at creation the same. Look at the birds. Look at how free they are. They don't have a care in the world. They just fly around. They pick a worm out of the ground. They go here. They go there. They don't care. They're free. And if they're free, then why aren't we free? Then King Jesus told me, keep looking. Look at the lilies, look at the flowers, look at the trees. They grow, they're beautiful, they're nice. But they don't toil, they don't spin, they just grow. They don't worry. Should they worry? Probably, because I'm going to come and step on them and probably kill them on accident. But they don't worry. They don't. They just don't. They don't have the capacity to worry because they're not sentient beings, but you get the point Jesus is making. To stop and consider his creation. And that's what I did. I just stopped and I considered, and I became kind of a hippie for a while, where I would just walk in creation and look at stuff and be like, wow, this is so nice. I don't know. I'm not that type of guy, but I became that type of guy because God made me that type of guy. So if God so clothes the grass of the field, if he feeds the birds, Jesus is saying, won't he look after you? Like, is that logic consistent? I think it is. I think it's very consistent. He asks us a very pointed question. Which of you, now this is like the bullet. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Like, I was worried about the plane crashing, but was my worry going to in any way add an hour to my life? No, it won't. It can't. But wait a minute. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. So he asked us this question. Can you add a single hour to your lifespan by worrying? No. Oh, you of little faith. But wait, I thought the faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. Isn't that what Jesus said? Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. That's what he said. So he says, oh, you of little faith. Well, Jesus, you said a mustard seed can move mountains. That's a little bit of faith, isn't it? Even a little faith is powerful. And was Jesus rebuking their little faith? Maybe, but I don't think so. I think he was just trying to remind them, guys, your little faith can overcome this. You don't need to become a spiritual juggernaut. It's just a little bit. I did a little study on this phrase, you of little faith, and discovered that almost every time Jesus said this phrase, you of little faith, almost every time he said it, it preceded or it followed a miracle. Isn't that interesting? Yes, my faith was little, but I am little. You are little. Jesus knows our little faith, and he does not despise it. I'm a little sheep. So how can he expect anything but a little faith from me? God has planted us by living water. So when you're in Christ, your roots are deep down into the river, and it doesn't come from the rain. Do you get what I'm saying? So whether we're in a drought of life, whether we're in a storm of life, our nourishment doesn't come from the weather. It comes from the river. It's constant through the storm. And so Jesus taught me that my little mind that had enslaved me and my little faith, which would set me free, would grow into freedom as I continued to offer him my little offerings of faith. The King of Kings said, do not be anxious. God will care for your needs. Instead, focus all your anxious energy on seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And so this is the practical step. This is what this is what the Lord Jesus tells us to do. Therefore, do not be anxious. He starts every single unit of this passage with that phrase, do not be anxious. He says it three times. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so one of the hardest things about dealing with chronic anxiety is the exhaustion. Anxiety will exhaust you physically. It will exhaust you. It'll drain the life right out of your body, and so will depression as well. In my case, it didn't help that I was on antidepressant medication because it made me become like a zombie. Now, I know not everybody experiences these symptoms. I stayed on the medication for 100 days, and for me, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. Now, I know some people, they get on psychiatric drugs, and it works. It works for them, and they feel better. And in your case, I say God bless you. Consider it a gift from God. But for me, it just didn't work. My body didn't respond. So I had to try something else. So I stayed on this stuff for 100 days. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad if they're on medication for these problems. But having been in the pit, I understand how horrible life can be dealing with this type of things. And if it works, good for you. But for me, it didn't. So the first 30 days, my panic attacks would hit me like a train. I remember I took a pill, like the first pill. And I'm like, okay, Lord, please let it work. You know, I took the pill. And then, boom, I got smacked with the most intense panic attack I ever had. I remember I was driving to a men's group. And like, it felt like the world just like went upside down, and I'm like, what? And I'm driving, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what's happening? So I pulled off in the Shoppers on Tecumseh Road there, and I just laid in my car going, okay, when the world becomes right side up again, I'll continue driving. So I just stayed there and prayed and prayed and prayed, and eventually the world became right side up again. I'm like, okay, I can go now. But it was intense. I didn't know what was happening. So that happened for the first 30 days. Boom. Boom, they'd come out of nowhere. Then the next 30 days saw my anxiety diminish, but become replaced with an equally unwelcome guest called depression. Deep, dark depression. It seemed like my faith in God was just rushed out of me. I had nothing. Daily thoughts would bombard my mind. Why even bother going on anymore? It haunted me. The next 40 days saw my depression leave, which was nice. Bye. Didn't want him in my life. But he was replaced by a very strange, apathetic, and eerie guest that I don't know if he was worse or I don't know. I just call him the zombie. I became a zombie. I was numb. I couldn't feel. My emotions didn't exist. Have you ever felt that way? Like I seen something happen. I remember this is when it kind of struck me. I seen something happen that should have, I forget what it was exactly, but it should have caused like an emotional response, but it didn't. I was like, wait a minute, I should probably feel bad for that person, but I don't. Why don't I? And that was pretty scary. So I decided to wean off the medication because I thought I would rather feel anxious than feel nothing. Because at least when I'm anxious, I have some sort of a compass. I can kind of, but when you feel nothing, it's just like, what's going on? You can't really judge anything or distinguish between emotions because they don't exist. So I weaned off the medication. Day by day, I took less and less. When finally I took the bottle of pills and like slam dunked it into the garbage can, it was one of the happiest days of my life. I'm like, thank you, Lord, I'm off the medication. But the anxiety was still there and it was still alive. But at least I could feel something now and I could try to work through this. So this is when the solution from King Jesus rushed into my mind. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom. Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about what you will eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. This is the stuff the world worries about, not the child of God. This is the garbage that's being fed to our children today. You have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, and this is anxiety-inducing. Don't be anxious about anything. Do not live after the manner of the godless world. God knows what you need, and he will provide it. So then, what do we do? What do we do then? Okay, nice story, Alan, but what do I do? Put all your effort, all your strength into this one. Let it become an obsession in your life, an addiction, seeking first his kingdom. In his righteousness. That's the solution. That's always the solution. And I realized that anxiety did take up a lot of my energy, but it was time to take that anxious energy and transfer it into seeking energy. That was the answer. Because truthfully, if you could take anxious energy and transfer it into something productive, you can accomplish a lot. Because anxiety is a strong emotion. And if you can use it for good, you're going to do just fine. But how? How do you do that? How do you transfer anxious energy to seeking energy? It's going to look different for you, but this is how it looked for me. I continued journaling, I continued in prayer, and I asked the Lord to continue to teach me. And here's one important thing. Do not miss this. Do not forsake church. I know you might be thinking, oh, of course you're going to say that because you want people coming. No. don't forsake gathering together. Believe me, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't. I would rather have stayed home in a cocoon and panicked my life away. But I remember one time I was supposed to preach. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it today. It's too much. I can't do it. And Shelley said, why? I said, well, what do you mean why? You know why, because I'm anxious. She said, who's making the decision? You or anxiety? And I was like, well, you got me there. It's not me, it's anxiety. She said, never, and this is what she told me. It was like just like wisdom out of nowhere. She said, never make a decision based on anxiety. Never. I said, wow. So I preached. I did. I preached right through a panic attack. But I did it. And it was for the good. At the time, I didn't even like going to church. It was just too much. But hear me clear this morning. If you're anxious, if you feel like you don't want to be social today, just do it. Just do it. Force it if you have to. I know it's hard. I've been there. And people might judge you, and they might go, what the heck is wrong with you, man? Why are you sweating? Why are you sweating when you eat? You know? But you got to power through it. And surround yourself with people who will. And be honest. Be honest about it. If you're struggling, don't hide it. Be honest about it. And there's people who love you and who will help you and who won't judge you. You might still feel like they're judging you, but they're not. It was in those moments where I just did it anyways that God really broke through in worship. In spite of the way I was feeling, in spite of the circumstances, please do not forsake the gathering together of God's people. God prescribed it for a reason, and it wasn't to build large buildings, and it wasn't to prop up an institution. He did it. He instituted it for you so you can be free. That's why he did it. Little by little, I noticed my anxiety was being crowded out by my little faith. My mustard seed began to grow, and my anxiety began to shrink. And the Spirit of God, and by the Spirit of God, I made my life's whole encompassing purpose this: seeking his kingdom, his righteousness. That's it. Just do that. That's all you got to do. Just be a seeker. And you'll notice when you seek, you know what happens? Can you guess? You find. I know God words it that way, but I think more accurately, when you seek, he reveals. Believe me, it wasn't by my effort. It wasn't by my effort. God has given us all a measure of energy, and so we need to commit that, exhausting all of that energy to seeking his kingdom. And you'll see anxiety begin to melt away from your life and be replaced by this wonderful peace that you never thought was even available. And here's the craziest part. All that stuff I worried about, it was taken care of. God took care of it. I'm living, walking testimony that God took care of everything. Jesus was right when he said, all these things will be added to you. He was right when he said that. He wasn't lying. It wasn't just like a nice proverb that only works sometimes. No, he was right. It will be added to you. It will be added to you. They were and they still are. And so this morning, begin this journey to lay it down at his feet. God has given you a little, even if you have a little strength, just a little strength, use it to seek him, and he will provide. Take all your resources he's given you and throw it into one basket. I know that doesn't make sense financially. We talked a little bit about investing last week. You don't put all your money into one thing. But in the kingdom of God, that's how it works. You take all your assets and you put it in the kingdom, and that's it. And the increase comes. And I'm not just talking about money. Everything. Emotions. Everything you have. So here's what the Lord says. Our final verse. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, for a third time, Jesus is telling us, don't be anxious, don't worry, just don't do it. One very helpful book I read was called Spurgeon on Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And I recognized that this was a spiritual war that was happening here more than a physical. Although, if I'm going to be honest, I did clean up my diet and clean up my life in certain other areas, which did help. God made the spirit and the body. If you don't take care of your body, it's going to affect the spirit. If you don't take care of your spirit, it's going to affect the body. You're one person, not two or three. So Spurgeon had one quote, which, along with what Jesus was saying, sufficient for the day, its own trouble, this really freed me. This is what Spurgeon said. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, that that's true? But I missed it. I missed the obvious truth. I couldn't believe I missed it. I mean, what benefit is it really to constantly worry? Will that help? Will anxiousness today help tomorrow? No. We have enough to do today, don't we? We have enough to deal with today. Focus on that. Sufficient for today is its own troubles. Now, I like that Jesus said that because he's not saying there's no troubles. He's saying there's enough troubles today. So don't worry about tomorrow. Just deal with today. Live in the now. Not in a reckless way, you know. Don't be like YOLO, doing stupid things all day. But live in the now. Now is all you got. And when I was in counseling, I learned about being present, living in the now. But it wasn't made real to me until the Lord spoke it to my heart through his servant, Mr. Spurgeon. In a certain sense, anxiety is also pride. We worry about the future and what the future is going to hold. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know if tomorrow exists. We don't know. Worry about how we're going to pay our bills, how our children will turn out, how our exams will turn out. But let's be honest, you don't know. So stop worrying. Start living. Plus, let me ask you, how will worrying about those things help those things? They won't. They'll probably even hinder those things. Your anxious energy is better spent on seeking God than worrying about yourself or others. God is better suited to deal with your problems than you are anyways. Here's what Peter said. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So I remember people sent me this verse a lot. And when they heard I was struggling, they're like, hey, you know what the Bible says? It says to cast your anxiety on God. I'm like, oh, thanks. Never heard that one before. But there's something to this. And when you humble yourself and not be proud like me, telling people, you know, being condescending to them, there's something here. Casting your anxieties on him. This is what it means. Your anxieties, your cares, don't belong to you. They're not your property. So when you're anxious, when you have worries and troubles, what's happening is you're actually robbing God. You know that verse that says, like, don't rob God with your finances and stuff? Okay, we all rob God every day when we worry because that's his property. That's his problem. And so when you take it, you're taking from him. So stop robbing God and give him what belongs to him. Will you rob God by not giving your cares? This is what the Lord taught me. He owns them. They belong to him. They're not mine. So give God his property. Don't drain today of its strength that has to be used for seeking him. So I pray now like this. Lord, I give you all my anxiety. Take your property. It's not mine. It's your problem. Now that's crazy. When you tell some people that, you say, you know, your problems are not yours, they're God's. And so I've even prayed like this, God, it's your problem now. Take it. It's yours. I don't want it. It belongs to you. It's your problem now. And I know that might sound kind of like, oh boy, that's pretty bold, but he told me to do it. He told me to do it. God, it's yours. Take it. And just let me tell you this. Sometimes I take it back. I go, God, take it. And I'm like, but not really yet. Just keep giving it, keep giving it. Eventually, you're going to let go. It might take hundreds of times, but you're going to let go. Is God not able? Are you more qualified than him? I don't think so. Anxiety doesn't empty tomorrow's sorrows. It just robs today's strength. So use that strength instead to seek his kingdom, his righteousness, and your anxiety will melt away. So before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says he sweat great drops of blood. Why? Because he was in great agony. He was in such agony that his blood vessels literally burst under his skin and it began to come out as sweat. That literally happened. It's a real medical condition that when the human body is under a certain amount of stress, you will literally begin to sweat blood. And that's what happened. His agony, his stress was so great, he began to sweat blood. And it wasn't until I was plagued with chronic anxiety that I understood the significance of this. Listen carefully. He literally carried your burdens. In that moment, all my anxiety, all my cares were thrust on Jesus Christ. We often think when he was on the cross is when he took all our sins and all our problems. It's true, but it began in the garden. It began in the garden. How could I go on any longer being tormented? How could it be that my Lord suffered in such a way for me and I continue to carry what is his? That morning when drops of blood like sweat fell from his perfect face and stained the grass in Gethsemane was when my anxieties were dealt with. Then he went to the cross and his blood continued to stain the earth. And with each drop of his blood, my guilt, my sin, my cares, my sorrows were being eternally cast away from me and onto him. But three glorious days later, we know what happened. He got up. He rose again. He's alive. And because he's alive, I'm alive. Because he's alive, I'm free from this now. When I realized that when he prayed in that garden, that he was taking my anxieties and my cares, it crushed me. It crushed me. He freed me and he wants to free you too. So, with that being said, thanks for listening to my journey through this passage and how Jesus taught me. And so I just want to finish this way. I wrote a prayer in my journal during this time. And so if you desire freedom this morning, I just ask you to agree with me as I pray this prayer that I wrote, I don't know, in 2014 or whenever it was. And pray along in your spirit with me. So let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today encouraged by your word. We offer you today that which we have, which is a little faith. Do not despise it. Take our little offering and cause it to grow. We are but little cubs who roar and our enemy laughs. Cause us to grow large like a lion whose very presence makes the mightiest tremble with terror. The lion is anxious for nothing because he is the strongest in all the kingdom. Lord, you are the Alpha of Alphas. May we grow to become generals in your army. You are the Lord of hosts. Take our small offering, enlist us into your host, and train us up into fierce, godly, powerful men and women. When we roar with your word, may the mighty be confounded, and the fearful among us say, they've been with Jesus. Lord, this is a high and lofty prayer, a prayer we know not how to fulfill, and so we ask you to be patient with us, be gentle with us. We are only now weak cubs who dream of the day when our manes are full and our knees no longer knocked together in fear. Oh, for that day when we are fully grown and see trouble coming and begin to laugh instead of cry. Only you can take my little feeble faith and make me a lion, who, like you, laughs at calamity and mocks at terror. Help us, Lord. We are weak. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, appreciate everyone, and Have a great Sunday. Stick around for some cookies and some water and some coffee and chips and stuff. And yeah, have a great week.